Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. Did you ever think that markers tell the story? Recently, my family went to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. For 2 whole days, we toured the Civil War battlefield, and everywhere and all around us, there were markers that told the epic story, the unfolding drama of one of the largest and bloodiest battles fought on American soil. Some memorial stones or statues at Gettysburg, they marked where a certain person stood or where a military corps colors were stationed. Others pointed to where a person said something or did something important, like the Gettysburg Address. Others marked turning points in history, like the large tablet stone laid down on Cemetery Ridge that marked the high water mark of the Confederacy of the infamous Pickett's Charge. Markers, they tell a story. They stand as living testimonies pointing back to a certain day, a certain event where people's lives were forever changed. Markers, they call out to us to stop, to look, and to listen, but most importantly, to learn, not only for our sake, but for future generations. Did you know that the Bible is full of markers? God's markers are not grave markers of some great battlefield where men fought, lived, and died. Rather, God's markers that He wants us to remember and for future generations are markers of God's grace, marking out God's grace on display in the life of His people. In a large sense, the whole Scripture is a marker, a living testimony of God's grace. The Bible is all about telling God's story of His work in the world and His work in our own life. After all, the true definition of history is His story, telling God's story, His story of life viewed from God's perspective as recorded for us in His Word, which, by the way, is the only true and accurate point of view that can be completely trusted word for word because God has been there from the beginning. The Bible, God's marker in the world, is the only rock, the only solid foundation, testifying down through the ages what God says He is doing in the world. The Bible tells us what He has done, what He is doing now, and what God will yet do. But in a more specific sense, God has marked out certain events in His Word, certain time periods, highlighting them and underscoring them as important markers of His grace, not only for the people back then, but for us today and for future generations. The Old Testament is chock full of God's markers, markers of His grace, including one particular chapter found in the Bible, and that is Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is the second largest psalm containing 72 verses. It's an historic overview of God's interactions with His people, the children of Israel. It's like a walk-through timeline touring the main events affecting Israel, particularly focusing on from the time of the Exodus to the time of David, spanning a period of over 400 years. Psalm 78 is not just a retelling of some of the most popular bedtime Bible stories or Sunday school lessons that we tell our children. Rather, Psalm 78 is laying out and tracing God's story as the markers of His grace with His covenant people. These markers of God's grace found in Psalm 78, it shows us who God is, His power and His might. They mark out and declare for us God's constant grace and His mercy that abounds in the midst of the most unbelievable sin, the sin of unbelief. And these markers of grace ultimately point us to God's plan for our redemption and God's plan for our deliverance that is ultimately fulfilled in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 78 tells a God-sized story, an amazing story, and a grace-filled story, marking out God's plan of redemption. But before we begin our field tour of Psalm 78, we must first put on our audio set and prepare our own hearts to listen and to learn, so we can then open our mouths to teach and to tell. The opening verses 1 through 3, they focus us on listening and telling. Give ear, O my people, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Did you ever think that God has one command for children and also God has one primary command for parents and teachers? Children are to listen and to learn. After all, before children can obey, they have to listen. And parents and teachers of God's word, we are to teach. We are to tell. Recently, I was reading my Bible, and I was deeply engaged in studying the Scriptures, and I was so enjoying my time in God's Word and was amazed at all the rich truths found in God's Word. But while I was engaged in all the studying and making notes, I became aware of my two boys playing around me with their little toy soldiers and Hot Wheels cars on the floor. And I felt like God was saying to me, Katrina, I'm not just showing these truths in my Word for you to know. I want you to open your mouth and tell your children what you are learning. As parents and teachers of God's Word, we are never to just sit and listen and learn and study for our own sake. God expects us to study, rightly dividing His Word of truth, so that we can then open our mouth and declare to others, especially the future generations. Now is a time to teach our children while they're still children. God made children with a desire to learn and ask sometimes unending questions. Now is when our children's hearts are soft and they're open to the Word of God and not hardened completely by sin or this world. God wants you and I to open our mouths and to tell and to teach our children of His Word, His markers of grace, and even the story of God's grace in our own lives for the children to know. After the opening verses of Psalm 78, which talks about the importance of children listening and fathers telling, then beginning in verse 12 and continuing on, the story of God's markers of grace in the life of Israel is unfolded like a historical tour, an epic drama beginning with the events of the Exodus. Verse 12 says, "Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan." Archaeology and history tells us that Zoan is the land of the Pharaohs, an ancient capital in Egypt. And then going on in verse 43 through 51, the psalmist expands on these marvelous things, these signs and wonders that God wrought in Egypt, in the field of Zoan, in Pharaoh's own court, right before Pharaoh's eyes. The story of the 10 plagues of Egypt are some of the most amazing stories that we tell our children that's found in God's Word. God turned the rivers to blood so the Egyptians couldn't drink. God sent the plague of the frogs, the lice, and the flies. God sent the disease of the cattle, the boils upon both man and beasts, the hail coming down like hot thunderbolts mixing fire and ice, and then the plagues of the locusts, and then of darkness. But through all these plagues, the psalmist is leading up to the most significant marker of God's grace that's found in the Old Testament, the Passover. While in Pennsylvania, my family and I also traveled to Lancaster to attend the Moses Play at the Sight and Sound Theater, a Christian group that has for many years put on state-of-the-art gospel-centered dramas of the Bible. My youngest son, Samuel, was sitting beside me during the play, and when it came up to the Passover, the last plague, my five-year-old son was just full of questions. He was wondering why they were putting the blood on the door of the houses. I explained that the blood of the Lamb was a picture of what the Lord Jesus would one day do for us by dying on the cross for our sin and giving His blood, because Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is our Passover Lamb, and when you believe on Jesus, I said, and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, the blood of Jesus covers your sin by His blood and cleanses you of all your sins so that God will pass over you with His judgment and instead give you eternal life. Life forever with Jesus, all because of the blood of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. After the Passover scene was over, they had a 15-minute intermission between acts, and my son Samuel was a little bit upset about this at first and said, "Why did they stop? Aren't they going to finish the story? I want to see the rest of it." And you know, that's exactly what the psalmist does for us in Psalm 78. After the Passover, the marker of God's grace, God delivers Israel from Egypt, freeing them from a life of slavery. And then Israel comes out like a new birth of a new nation as the redeemed, chosen people of God. And then Psalm 78 then picks up and tells us the rest of the story. In verse 13 and 53, it tells us how God divided the sea and made the children of Israel pass through the waters, making a path through the sea, leading them safely, with the water standing as a heap and as a wall to their right hand and to their left. But to their enemies, the sea overwhelmed them. And then we see God continuing to lead His people with a cloud by day and a fire by night, guiding them like sheep in the wilderness as His own flock. There are many other markers of God's grace laid out for us in Psalm 78, including God sending them bread from heaven for 40 years, or sending a great flock of birds that just came and just dropped down in the midst of their camp so they would have meat to eat. And then who could forget that rock, the great marker of God's grace? While the Israelites were encamped in the wilderness of Sinai, they were thirsting for water, but there was none to be found. God told Moses that God Himself, the Great I Am, would stand before him upon the rock in Horeb, which is near the mountain of God. And when the rock was struck, it was split, it was cleaved in two, and out of this rock came out gushing waters from great depths that came forth as streams and rivers of water running down. This rock marked God's grace and their undeserved provision in a wilderness land. This rock reminded the children of Israel that faith and trust in their God was all that they needed. And this rock was God's testimony to them that in drinking from this rock and receiving the water of life, they now had God's testimony within them and for others to see. You know, the Bible is an amazing book. It tells one story, not two. All of Scripture ultimately points to Christ, and Christ is what Scripture is all about. We don't have to guess what the rock means. The New Testament, it tells us. The Bible clearly says that Christ is that rock. And as Jesus himself said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The whole story of the Old Testament is a marker of God's grace, not because Israel deserved God's grace, but because God was gracious to them despite of their great sin. Psalm 78 teaches us that Israel was God's people not because they were anything great, but because God chose them. He redeemed them by faith to be his people, to be a light to the nations, a blessing to all the families of the earth, so that God, through his servant Israel, would call out to the nations, saying, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." But so many times throughout Israel's history, they had spiritual amnesia, and they simply chose to forget all that God had done for them. But in Psalm 78, it reminds us and tells us that when they turned and they remembered their rock, the marker of God's grace, then they knew that God himself was their rock and the only God, the high God, their Redeemer. Psalm 78 is like a historical tour through the life of the history of Israel, and it calls us to remember the markers of God's grace. But what do these markers mean to us and to our children today? The Bible tells us very clearly that the same God who's a God yesterday is the same God today and the same God forever. The same God that marked Israel's history is the same God who also stepped into history and provided himself as a lamb slain for our sin. God then lifted up the greatest marker of his grace in the shape of a cross. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." And then God left an open grave to mark his greatest evidence of his grace, the power to forgive sins and to give us his gift of everlasting life. Why would we want to keep these markers of grace to ourselves? The children, they need to hear, they need to listen, they need to learn from us. On another day, I was studying and reading the Bible, what the Bible says, what heaven is like for those who have believed on Jesus. And then suddenly I decided to read it out loud and not keep it to myself. My boys were immediately interested and they started asking questions. And then my little boy Samuel, he piped up and said, "I want to go to heaven too." I'm so glad that day I didn't keep what I was learning to myself, but instead I opened my mouth and began telling him God's plan of salvation. And it wasn't too long after that Samuel too became a believer in Jesus, all because of God's grace. Our children, the future generations, need to hear God's story, his markers of grace as recorded for us in his word. But they also need to hear your story and my story too of God's markers of grace in your life, for we are his living testimony, God's living markers of his grace. As Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." We need to commit anew today to open our mouths and to declare God's message of grace to the future generations, telling them the markers of God's grace that's traced out all throughout Scripture that points to the blood of the Lamb. And we also need to share with them the word of our own testimony of God's grace marked out in our lives. Thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week as we continue to grow in our passion and equipping each of us more in telling future generations so that they can set their hope in Him.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
Tell me again.